Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elizabeth Esty, talk to us about the torture report coming out of the Senate. You know, you're an ethical woman. You're somebody who talked about the power of moms in the past. We've talked about the gender gap when it comes to some of these subjects like guns. Do you think there's a gender gap on this matter of torture?
That's a good question. I don't know, but I will tell you this. I will tell you this on how I think about this. I think it is enormously important to American credibility in the world that we stand up for what we believe in, and we do not believe in torture in this country. And whether it's done by, for whatever important objectives, it is wrong. It undermines our credibility in the world, and it puts our service members at risk. And I've been hearing from people in my district, military families calling in, who are deeply concerned about the extent to which this places their loved ones at risk around the world. And that's one of the reasons I'm so strongly opposed. And it just isn't discussed often enough. And I have to say that, you know, John McCain has been on this issue, I think, right and powerful. As somebody who was on the receiving end of torture, those are voices we need to listen to, the people who have experienced it themselves and who know what that means for the risk for our military personnel around the world.
Are you hearing from some of your constituents who say, yeah, we have to torture them in order to protect, you know, the country?
Certainly everyone is committed to a goal of keeping America safe. And terrorism is scary, and it is a real threat. And I take that seriously, and I know the vast majority of the hardworking Americans in our intelligence community are committed to keeping America safe. But that being said, we need to find ways to do this that are consistent with the Constitution and consistent with our values as a free people. And it's just something, and obviously the report was just released this week, the week that we're talking. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, which I will have a chance to do after, you know, after we finish with votes this week. And the kinds of behavior, the enhanced interrogation techniques are, in my opinion, those constitute torture. And I don't think they keep us safe. I think they jeopardize us. And there's a lot of evidence suggesting that the information you receive from someone who is tortured is not credible. It's not reliable. So I think there are a lot of reasons to oppose that. You know, I'm encouraged that President Obama ended the program shortly after he took office in 2009. And I think the report underscores the critical need for Congress to play an effective role in oversight and for the White House to ensure that these methods are not used again. We are going to face challenges in the future. And again, we need to stand up, be transparent. We need to be clear about our principles and our convictions as a country.
There's a part of me that thinks part of Cheney and his remarks on this indicate that part of what I think was going on here was the ability to punish rather than get information. I mean, you hang somebody up from the ceiling or do the waterboarding and the rest of it, even when you know it's not working, and they must have known it wasn't working, even though they now are saying it did work, because this is a pretty exhaustive investigation that was done here. There's got to be another reason for keeping it going the way it was. And I think this punishment thing is something that I keep thinking about.
No, I think you're onto something. I think you're onto something. And I also think it's noteworthy, again, and I have to make clear, I haven't read the report yet. But my understanding, I'm listening to the same news stories and commentary that you are.
Sure.
It's very significant to me that our military men and women pretty much refuse to participate in this. And I think that is, we should be proud of them.
And the FBI,
proud of the fact that the number of people who refused to engage on this and said, this is wrong, I'm not going to do this. So I think that does say something about how proud we should be of those who are sworn to serve and protect us, and that they ended up pretty much having to go to outside contractors.
And the FBI apparently didn't want much to do with it either, and that's
exactly
why they switched. Yeah, that's that's amazing. Let me go to from there to immigration reform. In no way are these connected, by the way, in terms of...
No, absolutely not. It's just another one of the big important topics.
Yeah. So tell me about immigration reform. We do know that if the United States Congress was asked to vote, and there was an open vote on it right now, it would probably pass.
I think it would.
Yeah. It would probably pass.
It's a reason I've been continuing to call on Speaker John Boehner to allow us a vote on the comprehensive bill, which I'm a co-sponsor of, which passed the Senate a year and a half ago, and it would pass, I believe, if we were allowed to vote. And it is far the better way than, you know, a piecemeal approach. But we do need to make changes. It is clear that the system is badly broken. We have 11 million people, approximately, in this country, not in a legalized status, but integrated to varying degrees in our economy, in our schools, in our communities, providing important work. And I hear from folks all the time in my district, you know, from the farmers in like Cricket Jackier in the northwest corner, who's a dairy farmer, who needs to be able to rely on immigrant labor to make sure the cows are milked three times a day, or whether it's the high-tech companies who are having difficulty meeting their needs for skilled workers when half of our graduates from graduate programs in engineering and computer science are foreign-born. We have needs through the whole spectrum, and I hear from the growers in my hometown of Cheshire, from the growers for greenhouses, for poinsettias, thinking about that this time of year. And they want to have this program fixed. So again, I think it's important that the president took steps he was legally authorized to take to direct our limited enforcement resources. And it is certainly sensible and in the national interest to be focusing those resources on deporting violent criminals and not on breaking up families. But that does not mean Congress is or should be off the hook. It is up to Congress to pass laws that are in place for a long period of time and that reflect the totality of the needs to fix this program, and that is up to the Congress. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's not going to happen today in the closing day of the 113th Congress, but it really should be front and center for the 114th Congress starting in January.
So you mentioned all the constituents that have called you about this, but the one group you didn't mention is, have you heard from anybody who is in the situation? In other words, who is potentially deportable? Yeah.
Yes. And yes, absolutely.
And what's
I hear from family members. I hear from dreamers who are concerned about their parents. I particularly hear from young people, actually, who are concerned that older family members could get deported and split up their families.
And what's
so,
that?
Yes, I do hear from them.
What's that like for you, Elizabeth Estey, Congresswoman? I mean, what does that do to your heart?
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to meet in person with young men and women who for virtually their whole lives that they remember have been in the U.S., consider themselves American, who want to stay and build a life in this country, who can't get financial aid, who can't get a driver's license, who are worried if they do any of these things that they not only put themselves, but they put their parents at jeopardy or older siblings at jeopardy. And it's just wrong. We are a nation of immigrants. And we need to find a way to fix the system, to deal with the border, to allow a legalized path to citizenship where people get in line, pay taxes, and, you know, comply with our U.S. laws. But that path can only be established by Congress. That is not something that the executive order does, and it cannot do. It is up to the U.S. Congress to pass laws. That is our job. And as long as Congress is abdicating on its responsibilities, we're going to see the president taking on more authority, and we're going to see the courts taking on more authority. Alan, you know we have a three-part system in this country, right? And the first article of the Constitution, it establishes the Congress, and it's supposed to be the voice of the people, and Congress has been falling down on the job.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty. Always terrific, Elizabeth, to have you with us and to hear your very insightful thoughts. Thanks so much for doing it, and happy holidays to your whole family. And when we come back the next time, we'll talk some more about the next Congress.
Thanks so much, Alan. Always great to be with you.